Bible says, through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. We began at the beginning of the year a study here on Hebrews chapter 11, going verse by verse, and just looking at faith, and learning all different aspects of faith. And I began this particular message last Sunday night. I gave out the first point, and we'll just review that quickly, and then finish up the message tonight with the title, The Strength of Faith. The Strength of Faith. Let's pray. Lord, we just ask you, Father, to, Lord, magnify the word tonight in our hearts and in our lives. Father, we've, Lord, had a wonderful time, Lord, of fellowship and praising you, Lord, through song, glorifying you, through testimony. Lord, so grateful, Lord, for how you work in our lives and how undeserving we are. Father, I pray, Lord, that each and every one of us tonight, Lord, would desire, Lord, to have a stronger faith. Lord, for our faith to increase. Lord, for our decisions to be made by faith. Lord, that, Father, as you said in your word, that whatever we do, Lord, would be done through faith. Help us, Father, to just grasp and understand this biblical topic, and, Father, apply it to our lives. For it's in Christ's name we do pray. Amen. There's a desire, if you will, that each of us, I think, ought to have when we get saved, and that's for our faith to increase. That's for our faith to grow. That's for us to trust God more today and rely on God more today and lean on God more today than we did the day we got saved. And the same amount of faith that was used to trust God for salvation is available to you and I all the time, if not more. The Bible tells us to be partakers of the divine nature. And when I think of a topic like faith, I picture eating at a buffet. How many of you like to eat at buffets? Amen. All you can eat buffets. And I know I'm soaking wet 160 pounds, but I love to eat at buffets. Brother Manny loves to eat at buffets. Yeah. At our missions conference, he put down like 7 sausage sandwiches. I think he ate like a whole pig in one shot. But here's the difference. When you eat at a buffet, it's not like when you go to a restaurant and you get the portion they give you. Yeah. When you go to a buffet, it's the portion that you want to take in. Some people get their money's worth. Some people, they're better off going to a restaurant and not spending the money at a buffet because they don't get their money's worth. Some people put the Old Country Buffet and other places out of business. They eat for 6, 7, or 8 people. They enjoy it. But here's the thing. When I think of something like faith, God's not a respecter of persons. Therefore, the amount of faith that's available to us is the amount of faith that we want, we can handle, we can use for God's glory. And many of us, it's not, you know, we have no right to blame God for not having faith, because most of us, it's our choice to not trust in God with and to have that faith and for that faith.
Yes, sir.
Many of us are holding back in our Christian life because we lack strength. And as, again, a lot of what I'm saying tonight will kind of dovetail what I talked about this morning, but we get in a habit of relying on our strength to supply victory. If you've been in church long enough, you've been saved long enough, you've studied the Word of God long enough, you can, in your mind, justify not reading your Bible because you've memorized a lot of verses. Or you can justify not spending time in prayer because you've spent a lot of time in prayer. Or you can justify, well, it's just one service because you've been faithful for so long and it's not going to totally mess you up. And we begin to justify and excuse, and we get in a habit where we can actually go through the motions of being a Christian without ever communicating with God. Churches, we can have services without ever having God's presence even there. We just sing the song, stand, sit, pray, offer, and go forth, you know, hear the preaching, go forth, and not really think about it. How is it, or how can we experience the power of God at work in our lives? There's a progression that we began last week of a life filled with the strength and power of God. And we looked last week at verse number 11. We looked at the depletion of material strength. Again, going back to the Garden of Eden, mankind was not corrupted. Mankind, you know, they were not made that way. We didn't suffer under continual temptation. Talking about Adam, he was weak and all that stuff. But there's a failure that came upon all of us because of Adam and Eve's sin. And if you look here in verse number 11, it says, through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age. There's a lot of things we like to go back in time and recapture. And like to go back and redo some things. And here Sarah is past the age of bearing children. She was 90 years old. Past the age of bearing children. Did not have the strength for it. And the truth is, you and I, the application here would be you and I, also in and of ourselves, fail to have the strength to live for God successfully each and every day. We struggle. We're sinners. Adam and Eve here were created perfect, but they sinned. And that day that Adam and Eve sinned, that exact day, our spiritual strength was depleted as well. We're born sinners now because of Adam's sin. Romans 5:12 teaches that. Mankind failed to secure the power of God that was available to them. So without God's power, where do we turn to for strength? Well, we do what everyone else does. We naturally turn to our own flesh. Again, we get this idea that if I try hard enough, if I give more, if I do more for the Lord, if I jack my standards up super high, if I hand out 10,000 more tracts a week, and what we're doing when we behave that way is we're strengthening our own flesh, the very thing we're trying to destroy, or mortify, or crucify, if you will. The Bible says very plainly in John 6:63, it is the spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. So we get nothing out of that. Could Sarah have done anything to change her situation of being past age? Nope. She needed to rely on the Lord. That's what she had to do. Her body was old. Her body was wearied. She could not trust her own flesh. And by the way, neither can you or me. Cannot trust our own flesh. That's why God commands us in Galatians. He says, walk in the Spirit. What's the result then of walking in the Spirit? Ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. That's what the Bible teaches. Paul told the Romans in Romans 7:18, for I know that in me that is in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. Our weakness comes as a result of living in the flesh, as a fleshly creature, if you will. So that was last week, the depletion of material strength. Because of the sin back in the Garden of Eden, we're not born with this strong spiritual power to make it for God. No, we're born weak, frail, flesh, falling sinners. And it doesn't get better with time, it gets worse with time. The more we age, the more we again, as an unsaved person, we rely on ourselves, we become agnostic in our thoughts, we question everything, we become skeptical. I thought it was sad the other day. I was just for a few moments. I was watching Bill O'Reilly, just a few moments. And what caught my attention was he was going to interview this man, this husband and this wife, who are coming out with this series on TV about the Bible. It's supposed to be like a three-part miniseries that is just, I mean, it's just what they say. It's just taking the Bible for what it says. And it's like a three-part series or three-week series or something like that. And Bill O'Reilly, who will tell you he's a devout Catholic, Bill O'Reilly said, now, you understand the Bible's just an allegory, right? You understand that the stories in the Bible aren't, they didn't really happen. You understand Noah didn't really build an ark, right? And the lady was so sweet, she didn't challenge him, but she said, Bill, we believe that the Bible is real.
Amen.
And we believe that what God said really happened. And so we're just showing it based on what the Bible says.
Amen.
And I thought, that's wonderful. That is wonderful. But my point of sharing that is even quote-unquote religious people, they fail to have the faith of a child and just trusting God and believing God. Number two, we see the reception of the miraculous strength in verse number 11 there again. Through faith, also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Sarah was not alone. God was with her. And she waited on God, and she received the strength that she needed to fulfill her duties, if you will, to God. You know the verse, I know the verse very well, Isaiah 40:31, but they that wait upon the Lord, the Bible says, shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles, they shall run and not be weary, they shall walk and not faint. And again, talking to believers here, since we have the power of God within us in the person of the Holy Spirit, then we also can have the strength, I'm not talking about to bear children at the age of 90, but I'm talking about the application here of trusting God and having His power in our lives, we can receive the same kind of strength from God that Sarah had. Why? Because it was through faith. That's how this kind of strength is received. That's why Sarah's name is written here in Hebrews chapter 11, because of the faith that she had to trust God. Unbelief would say, I don't believe that. How can that even happen? But somebody who's living by faith would say, you know what? It's going to happen. How are we going to do it? There's a difference. God delights in strengthening His children. And He does that because God's power is received in weakness. Again, the phrase there, past age. Turn your Bibles. Don't lose your spot here, but turn your Bibles back to 2 Corinthians chapter number 12. 2 Corinthians chapter number 12. God's power is received in weakness. As long as you believe that you have the strength in yourself for success and faithfulness in life, you're not going to receive the strength that God has to supply. Because God is not going to fight with you to take His strength if you are bent on having your own strength. But when you come to the end of your, and I don't care how strong we are, it's feeble, and compared to God, when you come to the end of your feeble strength and you cry out to God in need, God's going to meet your needs. God's going to supply your life with an omnipotent strength that's only available from heaven there. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, we see Paul talking in verse number 9, and he said unto me, and in the words of Jesus, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches, in necessities and persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. Paul here is saying, the time in my life that I realized that I didn't need God to remove the infirmities and the reproaches, the day in my life that I realized that what Christ gave me is everything I need, because as weak as I am, it magnifies the strength and the power of God. Man, when I came to realize that, God's power rested on me. But we need to stop living the Christian life like we are strong enough to handle it.
Good, come on.
In the Bible, you know the story about Joseph. Joseph was a good son. Joseph had a dream. He had a dream that God gave him. But before Joseph could realize his dream, or this dream coming true in his life, God had to weaken him. And I believe God weakened him so that God could then turn around and empower him when Joseph realized, you know, even though I had this dream about how God was going to use me and I would be mighty and you would all bow down to me, he had to realize there's a space that's going to take place in between there, Joseph, where you're not really going to like what I do, but it's going to humble you. And it's going to cause you to be at a point in your life when you realize that I am your source of strength. Boy, would to God we would understand in our lives that our source of strength is God. It's not a church. It's not a preacher. It's not your family members. It's God. You draw your strength from God. And then Joseph could say there, but as for you, ye thought evil against me. But God meant it unto good to bring to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive. See, Joseph didn't understand all that when he was younger. But he realized what God had brought him through, that it was God who had to work it out on purpose. Many others who used God, or I'm sorry, whom God used in miraculous ways and who experienced the power of God in their lives, had to be brought low. I mean, the Bible's full of it. Just frail enough for God to use. Moses. You know, it's funny. People talk about Moses and his stuttering problem. Moses and his speech impediment. But yet you'll find every time Moses and Aaron went before Pharaoh, Moses did the talking. And a lot of times we get this mentality from hearing Bible stories and children's stories that Moses wasn't maybe that smart or wasn't that much of a leader or wasn't that intelligent or could talk very well or was nervous or whatever. We get these ideas sometimes. But sometime in your studies, read Acts chapter 7 sometime and you'll find out Moses was one of the most learned men of his day. Moses was very well educated. Moses was a very intelligent leader and man and knew what was going on. And Moses had an understanding that he was going to be the one to lead the people, to lead the Israelites free. That's why he killed the Egyptian. But here's the problem. It wasn't God's timing. So Moses got run up to the back of the desert for 40 years. You say, what was the purpose of that? God bringing him down. So that when the time came, he would realize that it was God's power and not his to be used to do the great work. Of course, it happened. Job, the same thing. Paul here, the same thing. David, the same thing. You know, sometimes your biggest weakness can become your biggest strength. Take, for example, I read a story recently of a 10-year-old boy who decided that he was going to study judo. I say, well, I don't... What's the big deal with that? Well, he didn't have a left arm. Just a right arm, and he was going to study judo. He had lost his arm in a car accident, and he began his judo lessons with an old Japanese judo master. And the boy was doing very well, and because of that, he couldn't understand why. After 3 months, the master had only taught him one move. It's kind of like watching a Karate Kid. Only had one move. And so he said, Sensei, shouldn't I be learning more moves? And this judo master said, this is the only move you know, but this is the only move you'll ever need to know. Not quite understanding that, but going ahead and trusting his sensei, he kept training, and several months later, he was taken to his first tournament. Surprising himself, he won the first two matches easily. And the third match proved to be more difficult for him. But after some time, his opponent became impatient and charged at him. And the boy, I mean, just quickly and very deftly used his one move to win the match. Still amazed by his success, this one-armed boy, just a right arm, was now in the finals. This time, his opponent was bigger, stronger, more experienced. And as the time began, the boy was not doing very well. Matter of fact, he appeared to be overmatched to the point that the referee called a timeout. And he wanted to stop the match. But the sensei came over and he said, no, no, no. You let him continue. Do not stop the match. And soon after the match resumed, his opponent made a critical mistake. He dropped his guard and instantly the boy used his move and pinned him. The boy won the match. The boy won the tournament. He was the champion. On the way home, the boy and his sensei were driving. They were going about, you know, talking about the moves and the matches and all that kind of stuff. And then the boy got enough courage. He summoned up enough courage and he asked the sensei what was really on his mind. He said, Sensei, how in the world did I win that tournament with only one move? How did I do that? The sensei said, you won for two reasons. First, you almost mastered one of the most difficult throws in judo. That's the first reason. The second reason, the only known defense for that move is for your opponent to grab your left arm. The boy's biggest weakness, not having an arm, became his biggest strength in winning. God's power is received in weakness. Well, I'm so tired of Christians giving excuses as to why they can't live for God.
Yeah.
I'm so tired. I don't, man, race, color, creed, class, none of that matters. If you're breathing, God can use you.
Amen.
But it takes His strength, not yours.
Seems right.
God's power is rendered with humility. Look at verse 11 there in Hebrews chapter 11. Again down, it says through faith also and talks about what she did, but those first two words there, through faith. Through faith. You know, too many times we're lacking, or we lack, I should say, receiving the power of God in our life because we possess a very prideful and a very arrogant spirit. It's like what I talked about this morning in the illustration about how God resists the proud. We come to God and we want His strength, but we want His strength for our own personal glory, and God resists us and says, get away. Get away. The purpose of receiving the power of God in our lives is so that we might be able to reflect God's glory, not our own glory. Look, anything God uses you to do as a Christian is not because of you. Say, oh, preacher, that was a powerful message. That spoke to me. You're the best preacher in the world. Anything I have is what God gave me. I mean, if you and I are that great, what could we do without that talent that God gave us? If you can sing, if you can teach, if you're, whatever, I don't care what the talent or what the ability is, use it for God's glory.
Amen.
Don't use it for yourself. Because when you do that, you're not getting God's strength to empower you. It's all so you can get a bigger head. And that's the opposite of what we want. Sometimes we don't have the power of God in our lives because we're not humble enough to ask for it. Because the truth is, as a Christian, the power of God is available to us. All we need to do is humble ourselves and ask for it. 1 Peter 5:6 makes it very clear, humble yourselves therefore on the mighty hand of God that He may exalt you in due time. You do, and I shared this months ago on a midweek service, when you do a study on that word humble in the Bible, all the time God tells us to humble ourselves. The last thing we want to happen is for God to humble us. So God says, humble yourself. Please don't make me get involved. Humble yourself. Humble yourself. Humble thyself. 1 Peter 5:6, humble yourself. That's something that you and I have the ability to do. But most often, we don't want to do that. A small boy tried to lift a heavy stone one time and huffing and puffing and he couldn't budge it. His father was watching him nearby, finally said to him, are you using all of your strength? The boy said, yes, I am. The father said, no, you're not. You haven't asked me to help you yet. Many times, my boys, even still, they think they can handle carrying things. And they'll huff and puff and do what they got to do to work it out. And every once in a while, I'll tease them. They'll be up there struggling, and I'll walk over and just kind of put two fingers under it, carry the other end, and walk with them, teasing them. But I like when they try, but when they realize they can't do it, they ask for help. There's humility in asking for help and realizing you can't do it. And it's the utmost of pride to say, I got this. I've been preaching now since I was 16 years old. I'll be 40 here in a month. April 3rd, just letting you know. And I preached all over. I preached many different venues. Preached here now for almost 12 years. I was a youth pastor for 3. I love preaching. But can I be honest with you? There's never been a time when I stood behind a pulpit when I felt like I got this. I care where it is. I get the butterflies every single time I get ready to preach. Not once I get going, they're flying in formation, but when I get started, there's always a little bit of nervousness there. Why? Because this is a big deal.
Amen.
And I don't want the teachers, whether it's Sunday school or junior church or any other time, I want them to ever think that they have it. When I asked Brian to teach the young adult class, we were over at his house for something, and I was, and I never shared this with him, I was impressed when I walked in there. He may have staged it this way, no, I'm teasing. When I walked in there, there on his kitchen table was his Sunday school curriculum and his Bible open in the middle of the week. Because it's a big deal.
Yes, sir.
It's a big deal. I cannot pastor a church in my own strength. I don't want to pastor a church in any of my strength. I would to God we would look at our homes, our marriages, our children, you name the areas in our lives that we would look at our lives and say, Lord, I don't want to do this in my own strength. Look, don't try to live the Christian life in your own, in God's strength, and then live the rest of your life in your own strength. Don't have this church mentality of, I need God, and then everything else about your life is, I got this. That's double-minded. That's unstable. That's not right. The Bible is very clear here in Hebrews 11, whatsoever is not of faith is sin. And we need to be living to please God. And we need to be living to honor God and trusting God. And the reception of miraculous strength comes when we realize, God, I am not strong enough. I'm not strong enough. I need to ask God regularly for help. They used to have a bumper sticker out years ago that I never agreed with. You may have seen it. It said, God is my co-pilot. You ever see those bumper stickers? And it always annoyed me. Because if I'm flying, we're in trouble. How about God is my pilot? And I'm somewhere sitting in the back just fastened in and trusting God and going forward. God's not my co-pilot. I'm not in charge. I'm not running anything. That's the problem. We feel like we got to do everything. God's just kind of a bystander. And everything around us will fail if we're not trusting in God. Let me give you my third point here. The dominion of the master's strength. The dominion of the master's strength. In many of our lives today, there's a need for change in who's in charge. Starting with the White House. No, in many areas. Of our lives, there's a need for a change of dominion, leadership, the king. Another way to say it is there's a need to change our source of dependence. It's time to live all of our lives in the power of God. That receipt of power and the birth of Isaac brought Sarah into what you can call, I'm not trying to sound charismatic here, but it brought her into a different dominion of life, if you will, because here she is going along, Abraham's leading her, everything's fine, and now all of a sudden God says to Abraham, oh, by the way, you're going to have a child, your wife's going to give birth. Abraham, you're 100 years old, Sarah, you're 90 years old, but God's going to give you a child. And I know Sarah laughed at first, God dealt with that. She trusted God. She went forward. Imagine how she thought about God's control in her life after she gave birth to a child. In other words, if God did something miraculous in your life that you know only He could do, that it is nothing you did other than just trusting God. And God did, I mean, it was just a miracle how it worked out. That would change the way you lived your Christian life. That would change the no longer would you live with the mentality of, I'm in charge, I got this. When you realize, wow, God did that. Wow. God, you can do everything now. It's all yours, God. And that was her mentality. When you live in the power of God, it brings you into a whole new standard of living. It's maintained, this power is maintained through faith in God's promises. Look there at verse number 11. Through faith also, Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. There was a point in Sarah's life when she looked and heard what God said, and she judged that God is faithful to keep exactly what he had promised. And this power that Sarah had, this strength I should say that Sarah had, through faith that was based on God's promises, was maintained because she had faith in exactly what God promised. She believed it. She, as Abraham, again, she had a lapse in trusting the promises of God, but she found forgiveness. She found the grace to claim the promises of God and go forward with that. My question to you tonight is, what has God promised to you? What promises can you look at in Scripture that are for you and for me and say, God, I am claiming your promise, God. I have strength today by faith today because of your promises. Most of us, we see God's promises, but we don't have strength today because we don't have much faith in those promises. And when we don't have much faith in those promises, we don't have the power that God promises that would rest on us by obeying and trusting those promises. I can give you an example. I can tell Austin carry this upstairs, knowing that it's too heavy for him. Now follow me here. I know this is a simple illustration, but I could say, Austin, I want you to carry that box upstairs and put it in my bedroom. If it's too heavy, let me know, and I promise I will come and help you. So Austin is going to take a step of faith. Why? Because he's trusting in his father's promise. Now he knows, if this is too heavy, I don't have the power for it, I'm going to trust my father, who's going to come and give me the power that I don't have to lift this box, because he promised me. So when he picks it up and maybe takes a step and sits it back down and goes, Dad, I can't get it. And so then Dad shows up and an amazing thing happens. He goes over and grabs the other end, knowing that now he has the power to lift that box. And a lot of us want that power, but until we realize we don't have that power, and we go to the Word of God, and we claim the promises of God, say, I can't do this, I can't read my Bible, I can't pray, I can't quit smoking, or I can't quit drinking, or I can't quit cussing, I just don't have the strength, or I can't quit looking at pornography, or I can't quit lying, or I can't quit stealing, whatever it is, then we look and God says, I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me, and we say, God, I trust in you. So God, I can get victory over this because God, you promised that you'll give me the power through you. And what happens? I claim God's promise. I get victory over that sin. I have the power to have victory over that sin. Now my faith has just been exercised and it's grown. And now I'm beginning to realize, this is awesome. God is good. Man, if God gave me victory over that and power to overcome that, then maybe God will give me power and victory to overcome something else. And then that's how you grow. And you keep growing and you keep exercising that power. It's maintained through the promises of God. So if you get away from the Bible and you don't know what the promises are, you can't maintain that strength. That's why you'll find, as you get away from the things of God, you find yourself backsliding into the things of the world without much struggle. It was so sweet this morning. I was talking to Carolyn in Sunday school, and Carolyn made the statement that her husband, he hasn't been in church yet, pray for him, we're going to get him out here soon. But she said to me, she said, my husband said to me, why do you go to that church so much? You go Sunday morning, and you're back there Sunday night, you go back on Thursday night, and you go to ladies' activities. Why do you do that? And she said, she's so sweet, she said, man, by Tuesday, I'm backslidden. I gotta get back in church.
Amen.
That's good.
That's good.
Love the honesty. This power that I need, that you need, is maintained through faith in God's promises. What are some of God's promises? What's God promised me? God promised us salvation. God promised us eternal life. God promised us security. He says, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. I love when people say you can lose your salvation. I always say, what part of never perish don't you understand? What part of everlasting is not everlasting? What part of eternal stops being eternal? God gives us strength and power in Acts 1:8, but ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and all Judea, and unto Samaria and the uttermost parts of the earth. That's power, strength and power. God promises that ye shall receive power. God gives me and promises me provision. He says in Matthew 6, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? But seek ye first the kingdom of God, his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you.
Amen.
That's a promise. And so I claim God's promises, and that empowers me to live by faith and have the strength to continue that, and it's maintained. I'm continuing to claim God's promises. But let me also say, it's not just maintained through God's, through faith in God's promises, it's maintained through faith in God's person. Look there again, the end of verse number 11 says, because she judged him faithful. She judged him faithful. And that word judge there means to deem or consider, to determine the result of, or to form an opinion. Sarah not only considered the promises of God, but she considered the one who gave those promises. She judged that he could and that he would perform what he said. You know, two people can make the same promise, but it doesn't mean that I believe that both will be accomplished. Let me illustrate. A promise is always dependent upon the giver. Does that make sense? If Austin says to you, Celeste, I promise I'll drive your car home. The promise is dependent upon the giver. If Bill Gates was to visit our church, If Bill Gates was to visit our church, and he was to stand up front here, and he was to say, I'm making you a promise that before I leave, I'm going to write your church out a check for $100,000. Glenn would have a heart attack. My mom would tackle him and ask for more. I will say what Manny would do. Now, if Bill Gates was standing here and he said, I promise you, I'm writing a check out for $100,000 to the Harvest Baptist Church, I would believe him based on who he is. Now, if Brother Glenn came up here and said, I promise before I leave tonight, I'm going to write the church a check for $100,000.
I'll be glad to.
You'll even sign it too, won't you? I, as much as I love him, would not have too much faith in that promise.
Good man.
And Pat would want to know, where is that money coming from? See, a promise is always dependent upon the giver. And she was trusting God. So in other words, I know that I can have strength to live by faith and have God's power on me because I believe the one who's making the promises. You know why you trusted God for salvation today? Because you trusted God for salvation.
Amen.
I don't have much confidence in Buddha.
Right.
He's 6 feet under. Well, at least most of them is. They took his two fingers and put them in a glass case and traveled around to bring world peace. I don't understand that brought world peace, but hey, whatever works for you. I don't have much faith in Islam taking me to heaven. I don't have much faith in, obviously right now, in the Pope. There isn't any. I don't have much faith in Catholicism. I don't have much faith in a religious system. But you know, the more I study the Bible, the more God keeps his word every single time.
Amen. Yes, sir. That's right.
Over about 120 prophecies were made about the first coming of Jesus Christ that were all fulfilled to the T.
Yep.
There's over 300 for his second coming. I'm just going to go ahead and believe the promises of God.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
He ain't failed me yet.
Come on now.
What are the resources of God? There's a name that God uses for himself in the Old Testament. I want to show it to you quickly and we're done. Go to Genesis chapter 17. Genesis chapter 17. If you're there, say amen.
Amen.
All right, look at verse number 1. And when Abram was 90 years old and 9, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God, walk before me and be thou perfect. Again, that means sinless, lest you think that's talking about maturity. And I will make my covenant between me and thee, and will multiply thee exceedingly. There's a word in there. If I can go back about halfway through verse 1, he says, Lord appeared unto Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. There's a name that God uses for himself in the Old Testament, and I love it, and it's this, Almighty. Almighty. That's the Hebrew word, El Shaddai.
Yes, sir.
It's the name of God which sets him forth primarily as the strengthener and the satisfier of his people. It literally means the all-sufficient one. God is telling Abraham, I'm making you a promise that I am all you'll ever need. I'm all sufficient. Put your faith in God today. God will strengthen you just like he strengthened Sarah. And realize the depletion of material strength, the reception of the miraculous strength, but then the dominion of the master strength. Sarah's here in Hebrews chapter 11. This woman who was laughing about it at first gets right with God, and now she's listed as one of these great people of faith because she trusted God to do something miraculous in her life. Boy, child of God, tonight I wish you and I would have that kind of trust in God and his promises and who he is. God is all we need.
Right.
He is El Shaddai. He is the all-sufficient one. And just like he promised Abraham, that Bible is full of promises for you and I today to claim. You can have strength by faith. Or you can continue to do it in your own strength and really get nothing accomplished. A lot of movement with nothing being done. And then the result, end result is frustration, discouragement, and ultimately defeat. But if we plug into the Word of God and claim His promises and live under His strength and trust Him and rely on Him, who He is, you'd be surprised what kind of victories we can start seeing in our lives because of God. Not for us to say, look at how spiritual I am, look at my big head, I'm the next D.L. Moody. But to turn around and reflect that power right back to God and say, God, I can't believe you. God, you did it again. You're awesome. Let's all stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. God's not a respecter of persons, and so if God can work in Sarah's life, but God can work in my life. God can work in your life. Don't want to be the status quo Christian. Don't want to compare myself to any other Christian or church. I want to be everything that God can have me and would have me to be. But I've got to rely on Him. I've got to depend on Him. I've got to realize it's Him and not me. Some of us in a few moments need to come to an altar and need to say, Lord, I need to do it in your strength. God, I need to claim your promises. But in order to do that, that means you got to commit to getting into the Word of God to know what those promises are to claim. The piano begins to play. The Holy Spirit's dealing with you tonight. Would you come tonight? Would you ask God to strengthen you, not just spiritually, but strengthen you in all the areas of your life, your homes, your jobs, your relationships? Because all of them need us to have God's strength.